Good morning, everybody, my friends. Well, we did it. We did it. We pulled it off, didn't we?
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Friday celebrating his Conservative Party's landslide victory in the UK general election. The Tories received about 44% of the popular vote, their biggest win since Margaret Thatcher was in office in 1987. And the commanding victory means that there will likely be movement on an issue that has divided the country for the past 3 years.
This election means that getting Brexit done is now the irrefutable, irresistible, unarguable decision of the British people.
And here in the United States, some pundits are wondering whether Johnson's victory is a sign of things to come in our own 2020 presidential election. Joining us now is Yasmin Sirhan, a London-based staff writer for The Atlantic. Yasmin, thanks for being with us and helping us to understand what's happening.
Always great to be here, Tanzina. Thanks for having me.
So, Yasmin, the Conservative Party won by a landslide. Was this a victory for Johnson or a referendum on his opponent, Corbyn's Labour Party?
You know what? I think they're totally intertwined. I mean, you can't deny that this was a massive, massive coup for Johnson and the Conservatives, the biggest majority, as you say, that they've had in quite some time, and a really crushing defeat for Labour. I think this is the worst performance they've had since the 1930s. But what it means is that all but certain Brexit will be happening at the end of January.
You mentioned the B word, and I'm going to have to ask you about that, because Boris Johnson, at the top, we heard him say that, in his opinion, at least, the election means Brexit is, quote, irrefutable, irresistible, and unarguable for the British people. Is that right?
I mean, I think we all knew going in that Brexit was going to be the issue. Obviously, there were other things that voters wanted to talk about, the NHS, crime, climate change, all sorts of issues. But Brexit really was, at the end of the day, the issue that Boris Johnson was hammering home, those three words, get Brexit done. And ultimately, I think what was proven with Labour's performance was that, they tried to really pander to both of their voters, the people who voted leave, particularly in the North and the Midlands, and the people who voted to remain. And unfortunately, their position of holding a referendum, securing their own Brexit deal and giving people a choice just didn't seem to resonate with voters. But as I think you alluded to in your first question, there was also the issue of Jeremy Corbyn and his leadership. And I think that's something that Labour members are going to have to think about. They're going to have a period of reflection, as Corbyn announced after the result. And he has confirmed that he will not be standing as the Labour leader in the next election when that happens. So the fight for the soul of the Labour Party, the battle for its future, has already begun. So I think what we'll be seeing in the new year is people emerging to take his place.
There's what the voters have, said, if you will, with this vote for Brexit. But Yasmin, you and I have talked about this Brexit issue so many times. I guess I have to ask the question, when is this supposed to happen?
That's a great question. The bad news, Tanzania, or perhaps good news, is that I think we're going to be talking about it for quite some time, because although Boris has said we're going to get Brexit done, and while it may well be true that Parliament will finally vote to leave the EU to approve his Brexit deal by the end of January, Brexit as a project will really only have just begun, because even if the Brexit deal does pass at the end of January, what begins is this effectively deciding what Britain's future is, its future relationship with Europe and its trade deals with the rest of the world. And so, we're not going to stop talking about Brexit anytime soon, even when Britain does effectively leave the EU.
Yasmin Sirhan is a London-based staff writer for The Atlantic. Yasmin, thanks as always.
Thank you, Tanzina.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.